going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily. Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast, our YouTube feed, 94WIP. And by the way, thank you to everyone who, first of all, came out to the Eagles draft party last night at Lincoln Financial Field and watched on YouTube. A really good amount of people watched the show on YouTube, of course, listening on 94WIP, the Odyssey app. Again, however you consume it all, we appreciate it. Had a great time out there with Ike Reese and Hugh Douglas and Elliott Shore Park, taking through every pick of the first round, all the way to the Eagles at 31, trading up one spot with the Chiefs to land Jihad Campbell, the linebacker, out of Alabama, Timber Creek, South Jersey kid, IMG Academy to Alabama, originally as an edge rusher, and then off the ball linebacker. All right, let's dive into all my thoughts on this kid. I really want to get into some comps that I really thought about because I just kept watching more highlights and more, you know, plays of him last night. I couldn't go to sleep. I was just into watching this kid play. And I watched him, you know, enough because the game's at Alabama. But I wasn't honing in on Jihad Campbell. It was just more just watching, you know, a football game and watching the SEC and watching them a couple of years ago when they played Michigan in the Rose Bowl. But he's a heck of a football player. And it is a risk worth taking for Howie Roseman. Because we can be clear, he's injured or he's banged up or he's coming off an injury. I mean, there's some medicals here with him. There's a reason why he fell. I mean, I believe Howie Roseman when he said they had a top 10 grade on him. I don't think they're the only team that had a top 10 grade on him. He fell, though, because of some injury and some projection on what he could be. Let's dive into him. All right, the number one thing that hits me is the upside and talent is immense. I mean, he's a sideline-to-sideline linebacker, game wrecker, instinctual player, fast, quick. He has a chance to be a heck of a player. And I think he could be a heck of a football player if he didn't have any sort of edge rush ability. If he was just a linebacker, you could paint the picture. He could become Fred Warner. He could become Trey Greenlaw. He could become Roquan Smith. I mean, you could paint that picture. I think that a very ironic but fair potential, you know, kind of player he could be is what we just saw to Zach Bond. I think that is very. I think it's attainable for Jihad Campbell that he becomes a version of what Zach Bond just was for the Philadelphia Eagles, which was a linebacker with the ability to stop the run, to cover, to rush the quarterback, all those things, run sideline to sideline. That, I believe, is a very fair. I don't think it would be hard to imagine him reaching a Zach Bond level of play. But, of course, he's a first-round pick. The Eagles moved up in the first round to get him. Zach Bond was a third-round pick, took some years to develop, came here in a one-year deal. The expectation's going to be, or the hope's going to be, he's an even better version, a souped-up version, a more physically imposing version of Zach Bond. And I think he can be if he stays healthy and gets the reps and gets, you know, to where he needs to be. So when I watched him and I looked at his size and I was really trying to hone in on. So I have three players that I think there's some similarities to. One is a guy that we all know very, very well, but has nothing to do with Vic Fangio and the Eagles. And then two that are former Vic Fangio players. Vic Fangio's coached so many great linebackers, from the Dome Patrol to Sam Mills to, I mean, obviously what he did with Roquan Smith. I mean, he's coached so many great linebackers and edge rushers over the years, and now Zach Bond. But the ones that stood out from a physical standpoint and then also a versatility standpoint, because both these guys have the ability to go get the quarterback and run alongside just playing your standard inside linebacker. The two players that I thought about when I watched Jahad Campbell's tape last night. And the first one, I said it on the draft show last night, it's like the instant physicality, look, size, he's like him, is the old Raven and Texan linebacker, Jamie Sharper. If you remember Jamie Sharper back in the late 90s, early 2000s, Jamie Sharper is a heck of a football player. I thought he was overshadowed in Baltimore because he played next to Ray Lewis. And he played against the best linebacker I've ever seen play football. So he wasn't getting the pop. He wasn't getting the talk. He was the second linebacker in that room. But he was a really – actually, you can make a case he was a third with Peter Boulware. But he was a really, really good football player. And Vic Fangio, you know, he has so many different styles. One of those was that linebacker coach in Baltimore around that time. And then Vic went and took over the defense for the Houston Texans. And he took Jamie Sharper with him. And I thought Vic Fangio did a really good job with Jamie Sharper. And really, he kind of blossomed. But he became his own player. And he was in the shadow of Ray Lewis. And it was his room and his linebacker room. And he had the ability to run sideline to sideline. He also had the ability to get to the quarterback. Now, he had seasons where he had 5-6 sacks, and they added up throughout his career. You know, he wasn't getting 12, wasn't an edge guy, but you could put him there. You could put him over a tight end. He could come after the quarterback. Jamie Sharper was a monster of a player. And physically, tools-wise, there's a very similar look to Jahad Campbell as there was to Jamie Sharper. So that one, you know, you go back now 20, 25 years to go back to Jamie Sharper's day. The other one, and this is a little more recent, is Navarro Bowman. Navarro Bowman also kind of lost sometimes and maybe in the shadow of the better linebacker on his own team. That would have been Patrick Willis, who's a Hall of Famer. Patrick Willis, of course, was a midday show guest about a year or two ago. Good guy and happy he's in the Hall of Fame. But Navarro Bowman was a really good player. And when they had Bowman and Patrick Willis out there at the same time, that Niners defense with Vic Fangio was top of the league. I mean, top of the league. They had Justin Smith as the game wrecker in the middle. They had Alvin Smith coming off the edge as a true edge rusher. And then they had Willis and Bowman running around, you know, over the middle of the field, going after the quarterback, taking heads off of running backs. If quarterback ever tried to run, they would knock him out. I mean, they were really, really an impactful pair of linebackers. I see some Bowman to what he could be. Bowman also had the ability to cover and get after the quarterback. He did everything. And the last one is more of a projection, not what I see yet, but based on the way they talk about him and based on how excited the Eagles were to take a linebacker in the first round, a true linebacker for the first time since 1979 with Jerry Robinson. You know, there's a school of thought that he's not, quote unquote, an inside linebacker, that he's not, quote unquote, an off-the-ball linebacker, that they're going to use him as an edge a lot, that they're going to create a hybrid role for him where he's not just playing your standard linebacker position, because otherwise the value might not be there. And if the Eagles have him as a top 10 player, I doubt that just is an inside linebacker. So when you think about great tools, great athleticism, the ability to play off the ball, but when he did rush the quarterback, it was successful. One of the best success rates in terms of rushing and pressure rates when he did come off the edge. He was a pass rusher when he was younger at IMG Academy and recruited to Alabama, and then they eventually moved into off-the-ball linebacker. But there's an element to, is this the Eagles' version of the do-over on the Micah Parsons draft pick? Because the Eagles had the opportunity in 21 to get Micah Parsons. They did not do that. There was a lot of question marks at that point about the personality, the work ethic, or maybe just the personality, not so much the work, I think. He's always been a football worker, but the personality. of Micah Parsons. And did the Eagles, could the Eagles, and not just them, a lot of teams in that NFL draft, could they see what he could become? Most teams didn't. If people knew what Micah Parsons would have been, he would have been a top five pick. He wouldn't have fallen, you know, to where he fell to the Dallas Cowboys. The Eagles probably would have taken him. I don't know if teams had the vision, enough teams had the vision to say, you know, if I get this guy, yeah, he does this really well, and he could do this if we want him to. But also, I think he could just put his hand in the dirt and go get the quarterback too. And that's why Parsons is going to be the highest paid defensive player in the history of the NFL in due time here when he gets his contract, because he could do that. I physically see why Campbell could do it if that's how the Eagles decide to deploy him. So Jamie Sharper, Navarro Bowman, Micah Parsons. All right. Next thing that hit me, of course, was the reality of N'Kobe Dean, his future. N'Kobe's not coming back. I mean, N'Kobe had a really nice year last year. Unfortunately, had the knee injury in the postseason, and they already paid Bond. They used a first-round pick on another linebacker. N'Kobe's time is done here. Now, let's focus on the – you call them red flags. You call them the reality of the player. You can call them whatever you want. The reason Jahad Campbell fell isn't because Jahad Campbell can't play. It isn't because Jahad Campbell was the 31st best player in the NFL draft. There's a lot of concern over his medical. So Tony Pauline, Thursday morning, well before the Eagles drafted him. So this has nothing to do with, well, it's just because it's the Eagles. So don't think that way. This was Tony Pauline, who's pretty plugged in around the NFL and draft stuff. He wrote on Jahad Campbell. So he wrote a piece about Will Johnson, who did not go in the first round, the corner from Michigan, even though he was mocked, you know, as early as top 10. He wrote, Michigan cornerback Will Johnson has a variety of injury red flags, including a knee issue, which concerns teams. The situation is worse for Alabama linebacker Jahad Campbell, who I'm told has been red flagged over shoulder injuries that could disrupt his rookie campaign. You know, that when you listen last night to both Jahad Campbell and Howie Roseman speak about where he is physically, it does strike you as there's something to this. Now, how serious it is, I don't know. And you could point out, Joe, they drafted Landon Dickerson off all these injuries, and he's been pretty healthy and excellent. And I will say, you're right. I mean, I think it's worth it to take risks on players that are hurt because you're getting a value, and you get them healthy. You don't have to rush them on the field, and you might get a steal. That worked out with Landon Dickerson, no doubt about it. It did not work out the same with Sidney Jones. So there's levels to this. Maybe the kind of injury it is, you feel better, worse. I don't know. So we're talking about shoulder situation with Jahad Campbell. So Howie last night went out of his way to say this is a long-term bet. So that to me was them distancing themselves from him making a huge impact day one next year. The second thing that caught my attention last night was when asked if he'll be ready for training camp, Jahad Campbell said he's, quote, taking it day by day with the shoulder process. If the answer is yes, the answer is yes, right? If you're going to be ready, yeah, I'll be ready. Okay, so that means probably not going to be ready. So that means this is not a day one impact guy. This is a, you know, you call it a project. You call it a long-term bet. You could phrase the wording however you want, but that hit me. That leads me to my final two things on Jahad Campbell, the pick, and the player. The Eagles have shown us now through their actions in free agency, through their actions in the first wave of the offseason, that their priority, their main priority, is not to win the Super Bowl in the 2025 season. Now, you could say, Joe, they can still do it. I didn't say they can't. That you're projecting. I mean, I didn't say that. That's a you projection that you think I'm doubting that they can. I'm saying it's not their priority. Because if it was their priority, they would have brought back some of these veterans. They would have made the cap room to bring back some of these veterans. The Eagles' priority is to find the right pieces to win their next Super Bowl and to create another Super Bowl window and make sure when the one they're currently in closes, the next one simultaneously opens up. You close one window, you open the other. That's what I view this offseason as. That's what they're doing with the comp picks for next year. That's what they're doing with not paying Milton Williams and Josh Sweat and trading away Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. That's what they're doing by taking a player in the first round with injury red flags who might not be able to contribute big in his rookie season off the jump. That's what they're telling us. And I believe the Eagles this offseason have given themselves a far greater chance.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
To win the Super Bowl in the 2026 and 2027 and 2028 seasons by their approach, but they've given themselves a lesser chance to win the Super Bowl this coming season and repeat. I believe that. I believe the Eagles are following more of a Dodgers model, where the Dodgers rarely go all in for 1 year. Now, eventually they got desperate and got Ohtani, but they rarely go all in. They're always thinking big and small picture at the same time. They're following more of a San Antonio Spurs model, where they're going to try to be good all the time rather than load up for one particular season. And I think there's logic to that. I mean, it's going to keep them relevant and keep them good for a long, long time. But it does change the way you view their team and their ceiling for next year. And the last thing I thought of watching Jihad Campbell and a highlight of him taking Jackson Dart's head off in a game against Ole Miss last year and watching his ability to go sideline to sideline is it's not lost on me who's in the division and the kind of upside the quarterback has in Jaden Daniels. I believe Jihad Campbell is here in part to stop Jaden Daniels for the next 5 years. His ability to come off the edge as a pass rusher, his ability to be athletic enough to spy, his ability to stop Daniels in the run game, I think it's all part of it. I think Jaden Daniels was a big part of why the Eagles attacked this kind of player, this kind of talent with their first-round pick. Jihad Campbell, Timber Creek, South Jersey, Alabama, and now on his way to the Philadelphia Eagles. I like the pick. Comes with some risk. Comes with a lot of upside. It comes with some comps to Navarro Bowman and Jamie Sharper and Micah Parsons. And it comes with the task of stopping Jaden Daniels. And it comes with the reality that this is for 2026 and 2027 and 2028 way more than it's about 2025 for this player and for the Philadelphia Eagles. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast, YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there.